Good morning. Excellent. Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is appearing by phone. And Justice Bradley, I would just respectfully ask that if you're not poised to ask a question, try to make sure your phone's muted, because it does affect the ability for these proceedings to go forward with clarity. Okay? All right, please proceed. First, Mr. Schreiner.
I got it up high, but we'll see if it's higher than I need it to be. Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Chief Justice Ziegler in the Court. This is your second statutory interpretation argument of the morning, so I apologize.
Counsel, you need to reposition the microphone. You have a good voice, but it's not very clear.
Okay.
That's better.
Better?
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
This is a statutory interpretation question, plain and simple, I think. I think it's a simple case. In the sense that we have a statute, Section 146.83.3F sub B, which begins, a health care provider may charge no more than. There's also a statute, 146.81, which says health care provider means, not Justice Kurowski, what you were talking about this morning, includes. It doesn't say includes, it says it means, and then it gives 26 health care professionals who are health care providers under the statute. So those individuals, entities of various kind, may charge no more than sums set forth in the rest of sub 3FB of .83. That's what the statute says. Now, this lawsuit is a lawsuit, I read again the complaint this morning, for violation of 146.83.3FB. Because, the plaintiff says, my client, ChartSwap LLC, has violated it, even though ChartSwap is not a healthcare provider.
And so, Attorney Schreiner, is it your position, then, that the lawsuit should have been brought against the healthcare provider, which is the radiology department in this case?
That's up to Mr. Welsenbach, who he wants to
see. Well, I'm talking about a reading.
I
get that. I'm talking about a reading of the statute.
I'm not trying to engage in champerty and tell him he should go out and sue other people.
No, the reason I'm asking.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. This claim, if this claim had validity, if it has had validity, it would be against the health care provider. That's what the legislature provided for. And it's really quite simple. I wonder about this often because this court goes to a lot of trouble to talk about statutory construction and how many times have we all read Kalal and what it says. It's very plain. If the language is plain, that's it. Why? Because you don't make the law. The legislature makes the law. And the legislature, if it expresses itself plainly and clearly, we're supposed to do what it says. I have a lot of difficulty with any argument that says that this is a valid claim against ChartSwap under 146.83.3FB. It isn't. And as a matter of fact, the Court of Appeals, which ruled against us after Judge Van Grunsven had dismissed this case for failure to state a claim because it was brought against somebody not a health care provider, the Court of Appeals says in its opinion, ChartSwap is not a healthcare provider. It says in its opinion that the plaintiff cannot prevail against ChartSwap as a healthcare provider. Now, the Court of Appeals had other thoughts about what might make a claim against ChartSwap legitimate and viable, but it was not because it is what the statute says it has to be in order to be a person subjected to the limitation on what can be charged for copies of healthcare records. Now, the Court of Appeals says then a couple of things. It says, well, we're looking, we don't think that following the statute as it's written is consistent with legislative purpose or intent, and that one has to look at more of Chapter 146 to read 146.83 sub 3FB in context. Well, that's just wrong. The legislature's intent is expressed in what the legislature said. You've said it many times. When the legislature says something, that's the expression of legislative intent. That's the expression of legislative purpose. That's as far as it ought to go. And yes, plaintiff can sue the health care provider. That's who has a duty to provide records subject to that statutory cap if that statutory cap has been exceeded. Now, the Court of Appeals gets to the point where it can sustain a claim against ChartSwap by saying, and I'm referring basically to page 14 or paragraph 14 of its opinion, that this would allow a third party to circumvent the statutory limitation on health care providers. Well, and it would yield absurd results. Well, the absurd result has to be something, I mean, all the case law says something just crazy that we've got to fix because the statute doesn't work.
Counsel,
the statute works. Yes, sir.
Could you address the argument in the briefing over agency, over, you know, just agency liability sort of generally at common law? I think in the procedural posture of this case, we though I understand there you still are preserving this issue, but I think this comes as a motion to dismiss, right?
So comes as a motion to dismiss.
So we're assuming here for purposes of this litigation that your client is an agent here. So
yes, I mean we have not contested whether the pleading of agency is well.
Yeah.
That's sort of a conclusion more than a fact. But no, what we've said is it doesn't matter.
Right.
That's how it was litigated in the trial court and the Court of Appeals, and we've not suggested that the court decide whether or not ChartSwap is an agent. We
don't
get to that.
Yeah, and if you could just get to there's a dispute over sort of what the standard kind of common law approach is to agency liability,
right.
And if you could just...
Yeah. Okay. And Your Honor, if I may, just logically in my mind, the way the Court of Appeals got to it was to start out with something about intent and purpose. And then ultimately it turns to what it says is, well, section 990.001 sub 9, one of these statutory construction statutes, answers this question. And what that statute says is that when a statutory duty, because this is about statutory construction, that's what 990 is, when a statutory duty is imposed on a person, that duty may be performed. That obligation, it says, at one point it said some other word like that back in the 1930s, may be performed by an agent with effect so that the principal's duty is carried out if it gets the agent to do it. All right? It doesn't say, it doesn't suggest, and it has never been the law of this state, as this Court of Appeals said, that because the principal authorizes the agent to carry out the principal's obligation, the agent becomes directly liable. As a matter of fact, that's got everything backwards. That's imposing vicarious liability on the agent rather than what the law always does, which is impose vicarious liability on the principal, the employer, the whoever. This has just got it wrong, and it would completely, in my view, frustrate the operation of more things than I can even imagine. Now, that statute, as so interpreted, first by this court in, I think, 1856, and then in 1937, I think the Rosecki case is the only time this court has ever interpreted that statute, exactly that way. It doesn't make the agent liable. It just says that the agent can carry out the duty imposed by statute on the principal with effect. The principal is responsible for that. So, yes, the principal can be sued for a violation of the statute if the agent has violated the statute in the course of duty authorized by the principal. So, and beyond that, that is the common law. That's always been the common law. Restatement 70.3 or something of the sort. It's in our brief. The restatement says that's the law. Principals are responsible for what agents do. Agents aren't responsible for what they do for principals. And we've had cases in this court, and again, this is in the restatement too. A principal, an agent, can of course become directly responsible in tort if it violates a duty that it owes to the plaintiff, to the victim, whoever it happens to be. Not because it violates some duty that the principal owes, because it can't. It's not its duty. So, I mean, this is easy, if I may say that. It's just wrong. My friend does not really try to defend that proposition in his briefing. I read a lot of things in the briefs. Nothing where the plaintiff says, well, yeah, of course, we get a direct action against the agent because agents are responsible directly for everything they do for the principal if the principal is liable. And the Court of Appeals is just wrong on that, surprisingly so, frankly. But the other things it talks about are legislative purpose and intent. And it derives one of these from the way it looks at 146.04, I think it is, in which says that any person can be subject to penalties and damages for violation of 02 or 03, provisions of 02 or 03. And they say, well, that overrides 146. I'm sorry about these numbers, 83 sub 3 FB, that overrides that, but that violates the rule that says that the specific always overrides the general rather than the other way around. How can you be liable for a violation of a statute which only makes a healthcare provider liable? It says so. A healthcare provider is subject to these limitations. How can you do that if you're not on some general principle? I mean, there are lots of things in Chapter 146 at the end with the healthcare records statute that any person can be liable for. And that's why you use the legislature, I think, use that general language. Any person can be liable for destroying records willfully, for disclosing confidential information. This is, in effect, Wisconsin's version of HIPAA. You can be liable for that. Somebody who works for you can be liable for that. Some agent can be liable for that because they have independently violated a duty. But 146.83 sub 3 FB is not a duty imposed by the legislature on anybody but healthcare providers. The Court of Appeals says a couple of strange things in its paragraph 14 of its opinion. It goes on to say the intent of the legislature was to ensure that patients have access to medical records in the custody and control of health care providers without being charged more than the reasonable costs of copying and mailing them. The court cites Moya for that. Well, you know Moya. Moya was only here 4 years ago. Moya had nothing to do with that. Moya was a question, and I know it divided the court. Moya was a question about whether a personal injury attorney, Mr. Welsenbach, as it turns out, who has authorization from a client to get health care records, can benefit from the exemptions in 146.83.3 FB 4 and 5 from paying certain kinds of fees, for certification fees and so on. The patient is entitled to get those without paying that fee. And the statute says, or a person authorized by the patient. And this court decided that Mr. Welsenbach, with that HIPAA power of authorization, was a person authorized by his client. That's all that case is about. It doesn't say what the Court of Appeals said it says. It just doesn't. And then it goes on to cite Cruz versus All Saints Healthcare, Judge Brown's opinion from 2001, which was based on an entirely different statute that is no longer in the books, because this hasn't all stood still. There, the trial judge in Racine had certified a class action against a healthcare provider for violation of what was then 146.83 and violation of 146.83. But that statute at that time, no longer on the books, provided that a patient is entitled to obtain records for a reasonable cost. Legislature took that out of the statute when it put in what's here now, which says a health care provider may charge no more than these amounts. The legislature removed that. So the determination that the Court of Appeals made in Cruz, which frankly makes sense, that under those circumstances there could be a class action, and that it was part of the legislature's intent. You didn't have to depart from the statute to come to the conclusion that that kind of language, that is, that a person may obtain records for a reasonable cost, gave rise to a claim on behalf of people who claimed they were being overcharged when the statute didn't provide what the reasonable cost would be. So I don't know. I mean, the Court of Appeals, I think, to say it plainly, they're wrong. And as often, I think, is the case when courts decide, always for good reasons, to depart from the language of the statute in order to do the right thing, in order to search and find something else out there in the ether that the legislature had in mind, that it was its purpose or that it was its desire. The legislature can say what it means when it means it. Maybe not after this morning's argument, I'm not sure, but the earlier one, I mean. This isn't a particularly difficult case, it seems to me. Plain meaning, the court departs from it on purpose and intent, tries to read it in context, and tries to use vicarious liability as an agent. None of that is doing what this court has frequently said in Kalal, most famously recently, but many, many, many times. When the statute is plain, follow the statute. When the statute is plain, this statute couldn't be plainer, in my view, when it says that a person who is charged too much has a claim against a health care provider. Because this health care provider is the only one, by a defined term, does not include a charge swap, cannot charge more than a certain amount. My client is an electronic platform, a business-to-business platform. Patients can't even go through my client to get records. It's used by lawyers, personal injury lawyers. It's used by insurance companies. It's used by entities who we can be sure of have the proper electronic security, because these are, after all, HIPAA records. ChartSwap has access to lots of healthcare records around the country. It does this as a business, and it provides access to them. We have not sought to have this court determine that healthcare is not an agent of the healthcare provider, but it isn't, and it's in the record. We put in an affidavit for Judge Van Grunsven. He decided he wouldn't decide it. It's in the record, and it can't be contested. It's in the supplemental, or it's in the appendix, showing what we do. The requester, that is Mr. Welsenbach's firm, agrees to pay chart swaps fees. It says right in the contract that the requester doesn't need to go through the chart swap. It can go directly to the hospital or the clinic and insist on getting the records that way. It'll wait longer for it. Why do you suppose people want it electronically? So you pay, in this case, $12, I think it is, to get it electronically right away, instead of something, talk about the legislative intent, it talks about mail, waiting for the mail. I mean, That's what drives this business. It's taking advantage of the fact that people want to get healthcare records for perfectly legitimate reasons with authorization quickly.
Counsel, your position, just to distill it down, as I understand it, obviously you start from the proposition that the agent is not liable for the acts of the principal under the common law. Nothing in the statute's changed that. If the statute here, and because this refers to healthcare provider, there's no statutory duty upon the agent. If the language the legislature had chosen had said, you know, a healthcare provider or anyone acting on its behalf shall, you know, and then because of the duties, that's the different case.
That's what you're saying.
That's the legislature's choice.
Absolutely different. Was the legislature thinking of all of this? I don't know. I mean, who knows? But, you know, these things were, matter of fact, much of Mr. Welsenbach's brief has to do with what the industry, which I suppose my client's supposed to be part of, although it isn't, because it's a little different from the others in the way it operates, and ChartSwap wasn't involved in any of this, hates this statute and is constantly trying to get it changed. Well, I suppose both sides play that game. This is where we are now. We've been there for about 10 or 11 years, and this is the law. And I think that's it. The Seventh Circuit, which decided in February a case like this, where Judge Edelman, not known for being friendly to people trying to charge fees to poor people, said exactly what we say, which is this doesn't apply to healthcare providers, and dismissed that case on motion. And went up to the Seventh Circuit. They wrote an opinion. It's at 989 Fed 3rd 513, which said we think Judge Edelman's analysis of this is right. It's the same analysis Judge Van Grunsven did in trial court. There's no duty. The statute imposes a duty on health care providers. This record company is not a health care provider. And the whole idea of agency is wrong. At the end of its opinion, when it explains why it thinks Judge Edelman got it right, the court says, well, but, you know, this is a diversity case. We're bound by Erie, and we will follow the published opinion of the Court of Appeals. We think that's what we need to do. But he said, the court said at the end of the opinion, on page 519 of its opinion, any decision, after saying, you know, the state court should resolve this, this is a state issue, any decision, state or federal, should meaningfully engage with these points. That is, what's the statute say? What's its plain meaning? How do you interpret it? And the whole question of agency. I think a not very subtle way of saying that the Seventh Circuit didn't think our Court of Appeals had, but it deferred to them, properly, I suspect. Maybe if this court had granted review by that time, it might have held it. I don't know. But it didn't. And so now we've got a situation in which another respected and good court, a couple of them, the trial court and the Court of Appeals, have looked at this and said, basically, our argument is right. But we got to go along with what the Court of Appeals of Wisconsin said. So both these issues are important. In a way, the agency, the 990-0019 argument, is more dangerous because it applies in so many more situations. Look at all the agents in this room, lawyers. You know, we're agents, and now we're supposed to be liable for our clients when we carry out any duty for our client. Liable directly to someone. It's not right. And the court has, with all respect to the Court of Appeals, misinterpreted the statute. And we respectfully request that this court reverse it.
So, Mr. Schreiner, can I just ask you a question before you sit down in regard to Record Quest, which is the Seventh Circuit case that I believe you've been referring to? Are you asking us to, in essence, follow that decision, but for the holding in that case, which I understand they decided to...
Yeah, there were aspects of it that the court... yes, the short answer to that is yes. We think that the court analyzed it properly. It basically analyzed it the same way Judge Edelman did. Said Judge Edelman was right. But there's another one in there. Maybe the state and federal courts despite what the decisions say about how to interpret statutes, maybe they really don't interpret them the same way. Well, you can read the federal cases that they cited, Supreme Court, Seventh Circuit cases. They absolutely interpret them the same way. The same way this court does. The statute is plain. Follow the statute. I preserve the balance of my time unless there are questions.
All right. Thank you. I believe there's an introduction now and a pro hoc vice motion.
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Morrison. Good morning. May it please the court. Attorney Robert Walsenbach and Attorney Scott Borison appear for the plaintiff appellant. Attorney Borison is pro hoc vice and will present argument today.
Has he been previously moved in?
I believe so.
Okay. So you are currently on this case in Wisconsin. All right. We welcome your argument.
May it please the court, and thank you for allowing me to appear. I don't disagree that we think this is a relatively straightforward case. The issue is there's repeated statements, and I think at the start you have to realize when you hear their argument, there's a visceral reaction, there's an emotional reaction, because basically what they're saying is, look, even though the health care provider couldn't charge you these fees, we can charge you those fees for the patient's records from that health care provider.
I think what they're really saying is you sued the wrong person. That's what I hear them saying.
That's right. But the bottom line is, at this point in the case, the only person who we know has gotten any money is this defendant. So to make the leap to say that somehow this money ended up with the health care provider, we don't have any evidence of that.
It is the health care provider under the statute in subsection A who has the obligation to provide the records, which here were very properly requested. That's who has the obligation.
Right.
And when they service that obligation under sub B, there are statutory charges the health care provider can provide. Now, just because you sued ChartSwap, well, I understand why you did it. I used to do a little bit of litigation myself, and a class action is always easier to manage when you have a repetitive problem. But you still have to sue the person under the statute who's obligated. So,
right. And let me explain why I think they're obligated. Because, okay. And here's the issue. Because how they frame the issue is whether 146.83 3FB, which limits. Now, they view that as a limitation, and there's no question that there's limits within that, but to understand the importance of that provision, you have to look at A, which is what you mentioned, which says that a patient, if a person requests copies of patient's health care records, provides informed consent, and pays the applicable fees under paragraph B, the health care provider shall provide the person making the request the copies. My point is, B is authorization to make charges. So if we look at B and it's limited to health care providers, the only one who can make charges to a patient to obtain copies of their records is the health care provider. Their argument is, we're not the health care provider. If I'm right that this is an authorization to make charges, then they have no right to make any charges because by their own argument, they are not a health care provider. So if you look at the statute, because when he keeps saying the statute is plain, all he's talking about is B of 3F. There's no mention of A. And A is significant because it explains what B applies to. And so the only thing that a patient can be charged under Wisconsin law are the items in 3B by a health care provider.
Right, but the question is, at least I assume from everything I've read, that the health care provider, who is Milwaukee radiologist,
right,
was asked to provide right records in regard to your client. And that health care provider has not provided them, according to what you're saying to me. Your client provided them. I just don't think that you can make the agent liable for that conduct.
Okay, but my question or my point is, Your Honor, that they have to show that they have some right to charge these for copy for a patient getting copies of their own health care records. They have to demonstrate to you that they have a right to make these charges. If we go to the statute in A is very clear that the only fees that a patient would have to pay are the fees listed in B. Mm-hmm. The fees listed in B are limited to health care providers. So if you look at the statute and how it's set up in the context of the statute, B doesn't help them. The fact that they're, in fact, it hurts them. If they're not a health care provider, they're not even entitled to charge those. So where's their authority to charge patients when the health care provider can't charge the patients these fees?
Well, what is happening here is that ChartSwap is the agent of Milwaukee radiologists, okay? And it was Milwaukee radiologists who was properly requested to turn over the records that were needed. Right. I think you have to read A and B together. They can't mean two different things.
But if they're the agent, and by the way, to address your concern, actually, the only allegation in the complaint was in purposes of jurisdiction that they've acted as an agent. The allegations of the complaint as to what happened here is what you basically recited, which is there was a request made to Milwaukee radiologists, and the response came from ChartSwap saying, pay me $35 for this one piece of paper.
But why did it come from ChartSwap? Did Milwaukee radiologists pass the records on to them? Because ChartSwap didn't have them otherwise.
You can make that assumption, but my point is, but we don't know what the relationship with ChartSwap. That's sort of my point. In fact, if we look at like 146.82, which came in earlier about confidentiality of records, why is Milwaukee radiologists giving records of a patient to ChartSwap and then subjecting the patient to something that the healthcare provider could not charge, the certification or retrieval fees, and suddenly by passing it off to ChartSwap, now the patient is paying more than what the statute says they could ever be charged.
Right, but if you sued Milwaukee radiologists, you could collect from them the difference between what your client paid and many other people apparently paid, and what Milwaukee radiologists was obligated to provide at a specific statutory charge.
Right, but our complaint against them, because the only person who's been paid by my client is ChartSwap, and if ChartSwap didn't have any legal right to collect those fees, we can pursue ChartSwap for return of the fees, which goes to your agency issue, because it's directly liable for its own actions. It sent a bill saying you owe us $35. What was the authority for them to collect $35? They can't look at 146.83B because their argument is we're not a healthcare provider. So where does this right to charge retrieval and certification fees arise that ChartSwap has this right?
Where does this right not arise? There's many, I mean, why can't they? What statute says that they can't if they're not a healthcare provider?
Because going back to the facts, the request here was made to the healthcare provider. There was nothing made to ChartSwap. We asked, the patient asked for their records from their healthcare provider. ChartSwap got involved. But under the statute under A says all we have to pay is the fees under B to a healthcare provider.
Well, that's not quite what it says. But so your theory of liability, because you have to have one, falls under a statute that limits what a healthcare provider can charge. So what's the theory of liability that ChartSwap can't charge, can't do this at all? I hear you saying ChartSwap can't even do this.
Respectfully, Your Honor, because it's not a limitation, it's an authorization to charge fees. That's the point of the previous provision in A.
You may charge no more than is an authorization?
No. What my point is that if you look at A, it says a patient can't be charged. They only have to pay the fees authorized by B. A is an authorization to charge the fees in B, and that's limited to a health care provider. and going further. It's confusing because there's then limits within B, which say, for instance, under B4 and B5, that you can't charge these to a patient or a person authorized in writing by a patient. So you've got a combination where you have an authorization under A saying you can the patient has to pay these fees under B, and then when you go to B, it sets forth various fees with limitations on those fees. So our point is that you have to have an auth. The only thing my client got here was copies of her own records. The statute says, if I'm getting copies of my own records, I can't be charged more than X.
Could you sue the healthcare provider under the statute?
Potentially, but here's the issue and two things I would tell you. One, we could sue the healthcare provider potentially, but suing them when we don't know whether they got any of these fees doesn't seem appropriate. And second...
Well, what about the agency theory? It doesn't matter if they got the fees. If ChartSwap really is their agent, why wouldn't they be responsible? Because
at this point, Your Honor, going back to, we don't know what the relationship is. The only agency relationship that was alleged in the complaint was a reference in the jurisdiction paragraph. What we did was we laid out, they say, well, we're assuming that there's an agency relationship. We didn't assume anything. We laid out the facts. The facts were, this person contacted her. Sorry, had to make sure I wasn't.
No, that's fine.
This person had to, she made a request to Milwaukee Radiology. Next thing she knows, there's a response from ChartSwap saying, pay us $35 and we'll give you your records. That's the sum total of the facts here. And if there was no basis for them to, what's their basis to charge? I know you're saying that you don't have to have a basis, you can just charge whatever you want. Our position is no. The legislature has made clear that there's going to be limited fees that can be charged to a patient when they ask for copies of their own health care records. So to answer your question...
Well, can he finish real quick? Because you had said, I know I got you off track, and I apologize. That was the first point, is you don't know if they're an agent. And then you were about to make a second point in response to my question, which is, can you sue Milwaukee Radiology?
Yes. And going to the statute, which is 146.84, which says any person who violates 146.83 can be sued. So we're not limited. It's no different than like any other lawsuit. You pick your defendants. You don't have to sue all of them. That statute, 146.84, specifically says any person who violates it. And this violation is that the only authorization was for the fees to be charged by a health care provider set forth in B. And there's no dispute that the fees that they charged that my client paid were contrary to those provisions.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Counsel, your argument... Well, let's start with the complaint. The complaint says ChartSwap acts as the agent for several Milwaukee area healthcare providers. Then it says ChartSwap responded to the healthcare records request on behalf of Milwaukee radiologists. That's an agency relationship, correct?
I believe so, but technically, I mean, we were just laying out how ChartSwap got involved. There was no involvement with ChartSwap. It'd be the same as if I wrote a letter to you and suddenly I got a letter back from one of the other justices. I didn't know how the other justice got involved. But if it is an agency relationship, the statute, the 146.84, which makes any person liable, addresses that.
Well, in order to be liable under a statute, the statute has to apply to you. So looking at 3F, A, and B, which I think are pivotal in our statutory construction, it talks about the health care provider shall provide. A health care provider may charge no more than. There's no reference to other entities besides a health care provider.
I think the answer is, Your Honor, it's because of the commodity we're talking about here that ties it into the statute. There's no dispute that these are healthcare records held by Milwaukee radiologists. That's what ties it all together. And that's what the statute does. It says, look, we're not going to let patients be charged certain fees in connection. We're going to authorize certain fees.
But it doesn't say that, counsel. It doesn't say that patients cannot be charged more than X. It says a health care provider may charge no more than X. It doesn't say that the health care provider's agent or somebody else who might have possession of these records and be able to provide them upon request, it doesn't say anybody other than a health care provider is subject to these charge limits.
And that's where you go back to A, because it says the patient's only responsible to pay. That they are entitled to a copy of the records, and the only thing they have to pay are the fees set forth in B.
Well, so it doesn't say that either, counsel. It says if a person requests copies of a patient's health care records, provides informed consent, and pays the applicable fees, the health care provider shall provide the person making the request copies of the requested records. So we go back to these statutes speak to what the health care provider's obligations are, not other third parties. And if, in fact, you're able to prove your allegations in the complaint and ChartSwap was, in fact, acting as the agent of Milwaukee radiologists, even though I understand they dispute that, but we're on a motion to dismiss, so we accept your pleadings on the face of them, that would make Milwaukee radiologists liable to you or your client, not the agent. Otherwise, we have respondeat inferior, which I don't think is known at law, right?
But Your Honor, respectfully, if I do an act and it's improper, I charge you a fee that's improper, I can be held liable for that. And if I did it on behalf of someone else, I'm not suggesting that the idea of vicarious liability is upstream. We're not suggesting. We're saying ChartSwap sent a bill for $35 for a single page of documents, and that charge included two fees that are specifically prohibited. If they're not the agent, and that goes back to what is their role here, they're basically, for lack of a better term, we said an interloper. They got involved in a transaction between my client and the healthcare provider. Under this law, my client was entitled to get her records without these additional charges.
The healthcare provider. So then you sue the healthcare provider who had the interloper intervene, according to your allegation.
But Your Honor, respectfully, if the interloper is the only one who got the money, why am I suing the healthcare provider?
Because they're responsible as the principal.
They might have
basic agency law.
They might have their own liability here. But that doesn't mean I have to go after them. I can go after the person I paid the money to who had no legal. What I understand the question earlier, you said, well, why do they have to have a legal right to charge this? And the answer is because healthcare records are specifically addressed by the Wisconsin legislature and said, we're not going to let people be overcharged for copies of their own healthcare records. The fact that you bring in another party and you say suddenly you can circumvent that all the hospitals have to do under this analysis, what this would be is an open invitation for all the hospitals to just hire third parties to do this, and this law means nothing.
Mr. Borson, I think the argument's compelling when you're talking about the intent or the purpose of the law, but when we're looking at the statute and the words of the statute, wouldn't your argument make more sense if the statute, in fact, said a healthcare provider or agent? I mean, it seems to me like to get where you're going, and I'm looking at A, and I understand where you're coming from, but it's not what the words say.
Well, what the statute says is the only thing my client has to pay are the fees under B to get their records. What happened here was my client didn't pay fees under B that were allowed under B. They paid additional fees. And we've sued the party who charged her those additional fees.
Right. I understand that. I think what I'm struggling with, and perhaps a couple of my colleagues or some of my colleagues are struggling with as well, is it says a healthcare provider, and your client is, or ChartSwap is not a healthcare provider.
But here's the thing. They're acting, if they're not acting on behalf of, I mean, their argument has to be, look, we're not regulated by that because we're not a healthcare provider. But what role did they play here if they're not? Why are they in the possession of the healthcare records? Why are they making any charges if they're not the healthcare provider? The issue here is the healthcare records that were maintained by Milwaukee Radiology. Those were the records that were requested. There's nothing to say that they can turn around and just hire a third party and suddenly it's not them. If they weren't the agent of the healthcare provider, what's their role here? How were they even involved? What was their authority to charge? There's no, they suggest that there's a contract. We laid out how this person
counsel,
got involved.
Counsel, I don't know of any law that when a statute gives someone an obligation and they let an agent fulfill the obligation, that the agent becomes liable. I mean, if I have my law clerk who's sitting around here someplace drive me to a speaking engagement, okay, and I'm late, I left late, and I say, hey, go, you're going to have to get going. He says to me, I can't. I said, drive 95 miles an hour. He does. He gets arrested.
Oh,
he's liable because he broke the law. Okay? It what you're saying is that it's kind of the reverse of that. This is a statutory obligation of a health care provider. Okay? And you're wanting to say the agent is liable when the agent didn't have the obligation to provide the records to begin with. If the agent were somehow under the statute, as Justice Kurofsky suggests, then I can get your argument because they would have a statutory obligation. But, you know, my example is just a simple tort. But there's got to be an obligation on the part of the agent before you can sue them.
Right. And taking your example, though.
Yeah.
In your example, isn't your clerk charge swap? And they could be held liable for speeding?
No, because there is an obligation on my law clerk not to speed. Whether he's driving my car, whether he's driving his own car, he's got an obligation to the state not to speed. ChartSwap doesn't have an obligation under the statute to provide the records at a lower cost, which is what you want us to conclude.
Well, I believe it does have a responsibility because it's acting on behalf of the health care provider. On what basis does it have any right to provide copies and charge fees?
Under agency law, at least in the state of Wisconsin.
Agency law for who, though?
Okay, if they were the agent for Milwaukee Radiologists, which you have alleged in your pleading, so we're accepting that as true, then they are acting as an agent, okay, but that does not make the agent liable.
Okay.
They don't have a statutory duty. That's where I'm having trouble.
Okay. But, Your Honor, respectfully, because we did cite some cases under Wisconsin law where if an agent obtains money that wasn't lawfully due to their principal, they could be liable for it. The Sheboygan case, for instance, that said that. So that's our point. So if their principal had no right to these funds, the agent had no right to these funds. And so under Sheboygan, they could be held responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And combine that with the fact that the language of 146.84 says any person who violates the provision.
I know, but any person who violates reverts back to the statute, which deals only with the health care provider. So you end up in the same place, I'm afraid.
Well, all I can do is explain our position,
know,
Your
I
Honor.
I understand. Thank you.
But I do believe that if you look at this from the level, we have someone who intervenes in a request between a patient and the health care provider. The state of Wisconsin says there's limits to what can be charged, and that person sends a bill and collects money in excess of what's allowed under the law. That's our claim.
Yeah, I understand the claim.
So.
Your request for the records was made to Milwaukee Radiologists.
Yes.
So your claim would be that they never provided the records.
Well, they never directly provided the records. But my point is that we don't know. I mean, ultimately, my client got the records with a bill for excess charges, is our contention.
I understand your contention. I think it's interesting because the words of the statute don't directly deal with this situation because they deal with, I mean, I understand both sides of the equation, but it's almost like ChartSwap is the one speeding, right, under Justice Rogan Sacks. Analysis. Having said that, if you would have sued Milwaukee radiologists, you could have sued them for you failed to provide the records. Or if you did provide the records, you overcharged for the records because you contracted with someone improperly charged me.
Correct.
And so you're suing ChartSwap directly, alleging that they improperly charged because they're the agent of Milwaukee radiologists.
If that the only way that they could be involved in this is on behalf of Milwaukee radiologists, and if the principal can't charge it, that's the case, the Sheboygan case that we cite. If the principal's not entitled to the money, an agent can't collect it either. So the question becomes, and I don't think that's an outrageous proposition of law, that if the principal wouldn't be, if we stick with the principal agency issue, if the principal was not entitled to the money and their agent charged it, why is there a problem going after the agent who actually got the money?
Why not sue them both?
Well, and I'll tell you why. Because, one, if they didn't get the money, what am I...
Well, you find that out in litigation. I mean, you allege that...
Maybe I'm a very conservative plaintiff's attorney. I don't like suing first and asking questions later.
Counsel, the records were provided electronically, right?
Yeah. I think there was a fax.
There was a fax?
It's just a single page.
Okay, it's my understanding that ChartSwap, based again on the complaint, ChartSwap provides electronic records, not paper copies, but we can clarify that.
I guess I don't know whether fax would be electronic or paper now.
It's antiquated, I'll call it that. I'm amazed the machines are still there, but that's another issue. The reason I'm asking is because the statutory language in B, which talks about the fees that may be charged, speaks to paper copies, microfiche, microfilm, prints of x-rays, but it does not, I don't believe, speak to electronic records. So it's my understanding that ChartSwap's whole business model is based on providing immediate access electronically rather than having to wait for the microfiche to come in the mail or the paper to come in the mail. But if I'm misunderstanding the facts there, please let me know.
No, and I think, but the issue here just relates to 4 and 5, which is a certification and the retrieval fee, which there's no dispute that they charged. And that's where the $35 basically adds up to for the single page of their medical records. So, but that's where we're at as far as, and again, I think it's a question whether you look at A as an authorization or a limitation. As I read it, since it says they only have to pay those amounts, it's an authorization for those amounts. It's not a, despite it being a limitation, then the authorization containing limitations, it doesn't change the nature of the statute, which is it's an authorization to charge these fees.
The reason I was asking about the form in which the records were received is because you were relying heavily, I think, on the Sheboygan case from 1944, and the quote in your brief is that an agent who knows that his principal is not entitled to funds received by him for such principal from a third person is under a duty to return them to the one rightfully entitled thereto. But my understanding is ChartSwap is not charging fees on behalf of the principal. They're charging fees for the service they are providing. So I'm not sure Sheboygan.
Well, first, since we're on a motion to dismiss, there's nothing in the complaint about those type issues. I know they've included their terms of conditions in the appendix that they filed, but those were not part of the record on the motion to dismiss. We look at the complaint, and in the complaint, there's nothing in regards to those type issues that says, and again, going back to the facts that we alleged, what the allegations were, the first time anybody knew about ChartSwap was when they sent a bill for these fees. So the idea that there's some sort of existing contractual relationship between ChartSwap and anybody else under these facts that are alleged, there's just nothing to show that there was any contractual relationship to between the requester and ChartSwap.
How would an entity like ChartSwap get records from Milwaukee radiologists
I don't know the answer how they get the records. Obviously, they might have a relationship between chart swap and the radiologist, but there's no relationship between my client and chart swap.
Of course, right. That, my point is that records aren't, they're not out there on the internet for anyone to take them, right? They're very heavily protected. So I think the only source of the records could have been Milwaukee radiologists, right?
And quite frankly, that's our point, that since they're coming from Milwaukee radiologists, if Milwaukee radiologists had given them directly, we wouldn't be here because there wouldn't be these additional fees, presumably. But since they did come through ChartSwap and we were charged these additional fees that we don't think are allowed under the statute, then that's our claim.
I just go back to, it sounds like the claim's against the principal, not the agent.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I think based on the facts that we have before you in the complaint, the relationship is there was money paid, and also I'd go back two things. 146.84 talks in terms of any person who violates the provision, which is basically charging fees in excess. And second, the Sheboygan case that says, if Milwaukee Radiology was not allowed to charge these fees, how does ChartSwap charge these fees? That's the question.
Thank you, Counselor.
Thank you.
Your Honors, I feel a little bit at a disadvantage because I've never heard this argument before. It's never been made before. It's not in the complaint. It's not in the briefs in the Court of Appeals, in the Circuit Court, in the Court of Appeals, or in this court.
Oh, but you're a skilled oralist,
and I anticipate
you're able to respond.
But there are rules, and one of them is I'm not supposed to talk about the contract between Mr. Welsenbach's firm and ChartSwap because this is on motion to dismiss. But it's in the record, and I'm going to tell you where it is if you want to know. It's Appendix 33, which is the version of it that was in effect in 2016 when this matter arose.
Well, counsel, was that in the record earlier? It was in the record in front of the Circuit Court.
It was. And the Circuit Court said...
Not how I read that.
The Circuit Court said, I don't need to decide the issue of agency. He didn't. I'm not faulting him for that.
Okay, so it's a motion to dismiss. How would it be in the record? Wouldn't that turn this into a motion for summary judgment if we're looking at anything outside the complaint?
It might, but if everybody wants to know how this really works...
Well, I think that's beyond what we should be looking at.
I understand.
Is what I'm saying.
I understand. But I'm saying this in the context of having been met with an argument that has never before been advanced by the plaintiff, which is that ChartSwap isn't authorized to do anything and may somehow owe his client some money because of that. He's never made that argument. He's made a straightforward argument from the beginning under 146.83 sub 3FB. And not, A gets in there too. And the payment terms, which are on appendix page 35, make clear that the requester, which was Mr. Welsenbach's firm, the requester acknowledges that ChartSwap is acting as an agent of requester when it electronically delivers records via its service. Requester acknowledges that it is not required to use ChartSwap to electronically deliver records and is free to obtain records directly from providers without incurring ChartSwap fees. And it also explains that the only fee that ChartSwap itself charges is its ChartSwap fee, which I previously told you is $12 out of that 35, and the rest of it goes to Milwaukee radiologists, which I don't know, but I suspect is within the limits set by 146 sub 83 sub 3FB. And that's what this case is about. What's this case about? Well, an enterprising, and we're not the only one by any means, and there are in different forms and in different kinds, but enterprises have found ways legitimately, consistent with HIPAA, consistent with maintaining the confidentiality of records, to gain access to medical records so that they can provide them to plaintiff's lawyers, can provide them to other insurance companies, with proper authorization from the patient, and they charge for the service. That's it. This is la-la land, made more so by the fact that I have a new cause of action here in front of the Supreme Court of Wisconsin, a new claim of what the claim here is. It is not the claim that's been advanced, and it is not a valid claim. That's all I got to say, unless you got questions.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Interesting arguments. Thank you for your presentations today. We will take this case advisement. The court will reconvene 1:30 in conference.
Got it.